Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Depressed and defeated, it's the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. I'm your host this week, Ruben Tomas, aka Reddit Mavericks. And today, both Squish and Don are out, so I brought in some reinforcements. I have Isaac.
Hey.
What's up, Isaac? What's up, Isaac?
What's up?
And then I have Tim Beamer. Both contributors from the Hoops have for MFFLs.com. How you doing, Tim?
Just like when the Mavs are missing their two top contributors, this will go terribly.
No, it will not. Actually, we have a pretty deep roster, actually, of people who are willing to jump on. I know there was, in our Slack channel, there was, our international man, Juan, was about to come on. I know Wyatt is still trying to get on this thing, so. And I know Wyatt is currently going through the roughest time of his life doing, he's fighting for his life during finals, so that's always fun.
Oh, I feel that.
It's like, I do not miss college, so. Which it's weird, bro, because I was thinking about it. I was like, wait, y'all, like, do they do, like, 2 weeks of finals now? Is that how it goes?
Yes. It's been last week and this next week.
That is terrible, dude. When I was in school, it was only just 1 week, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, this is the 1 week where I actually have to do work. So, you know, I mean, besides, like, tests or whatever.
I cannot wait to get on the podcast with Wyatt so that this can just become a 45-minute episode about different small towns along I-81 in Nebraska.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm definitely going to have you on for that one because, it might be next week, actually. We'll see because next week is Christmas. And I don't know. We all might be very, very mad after the Christmas game. So we'll see. But before we get started, we have an ad read. My bookie is, Wilder versus Fury, Mayweather versus Pacquiao, electric personalities that produce big fights and even bigger betting opportunities. This Saturday, Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley will be no different, so don't miss out on the action. Bet the fight with MyBookie. MyBookie has the best odds and prop bets for Woodley Paul too, and you can start doubling your initial deposit all the way up to $1,000 using the promo code SPORTSDRINK. That's double your deposit to double your funds to double your excitement for Paul Woodley too at MyBookie. Much as we'd all love to see Jake Paul eat canvas, he's looked strong in previous matchups. And with Woodley taking this fight on short notice, all the odds are in Paul's favor. Really? That sucks. Back the problem child to win this rematch, as sure he's the favorite. Don't miss out. Double your first deposit up to $1,000 using the promo code SPORTSDRINK. That's SPORTSDRINK. Head to mybookie.com. Today and place your bets, fill your pockets, and watch this grudge match get settled with Paul versus Woodley too. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with my bookie. I did not realize they were fighting this week, so that was interesting for me to find out.
Yeah, and anytime a Paul brother fights, you get the bonus of seeing them go 1-2 against their opponent and their deep-seated daddy issues.
Yeah, so that's great, man. So see that shit live. And yes, Isaac, they did put Pacquiao and Mayweather and yeah, Paul and Woodley and the same. Yeah, that's great.
All right.
I love our ad reads. So anyway, guys, let's go and talk about this past week of games. We can talk about that. We can talk about the continued drama on Twitter. We can talk about, I guess, whatever we want to. So this week, first of all, it was my birthday. So happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday.
And we lost
old bitch.
I know you're way older than I am. we lost that game narrowly against the Brooklyn Nets, a game that we were up by what, like 17 at one point.
Yep.
Great. You know, obviously when you're going against a team that has Kevin fucking Durant, you know, things can go sideways real quick. Things did go sideways real quick for us, especially in the fourth quarter. That second half, really, like in general, just like, I don't know, you can kind of see the steam leaving our bodies. You know, we lost against the Nets. That shit made me real mad. I was actually kind of happy I didn't have tickets to that game. What are your guys' thoughts about that game in particular? Anything that sticks out to y'all guys?
9 for 46. We shot 46 threes when we made 9 of. Okay, sorry.
Okay,
yeah. That's going to be a continued yeah. theme. That's going to be a continued theme as we talk about these games. I'll try to spin this positively, you know.
Here we go.
I just think it was probably very inspirational for Luka to see another fat guy doing work down the stretch in one of these games, with James Harden kind of putting us away at the end.
James fucking Harden. I'm trying to look at his stuff today. Let's see. He had, 7-13. Yeah. 23 points, 12 assists. Holy shit. Now he also had trouble. Damn. I didn't realize that.
Us up.
Shit, dude. Yeah. So yeah, Luka looked, that was the Dorian Finney-Smith game, which was interesting. Like, you know, he went 4 for 9 for 3, which hasn't happened very often, this year, especially, if at all. You know, looking at the box score, it's just like, okay, like Jalen Brunson obviously gets a lot of burn. Tim Hardaway Jr. off the bench did not have the best shooting game from three, 0 from 7. Some people would say that's bad, myself included. Josh Green got some minutes early on, which was really interesting. I was not expecting him to show up like in the first, second quarter, basically the first half, and it being like, okay, like he shot 1 for 1. Cool. Shooting a cool 100% from the field. Had a steal, great, you know. Still -8, -8, which is, you know, kind of expected. You know, KP, for whatever reason, shot 17 times and only hit 6 of those. I mean, Luka not so much better, you know, hitting, you know, 9 for 21. Again, Reggie Bullock, after having a pretty good game, you know, looked like shit again. Dwight Powell, you know, going 3 for 3 from the field. Great. I like it when he does that, especially when it's not a 3-point shot. So,
yeah.
I mean, that game was what it is. Again, a lot of these games are going to be what they are at this point. It's been what, at this point, it would have been what, 20, how many games is this? This is what? It's
22, I think.
This is the 23rd game. At this point, I think we know what this team is, which is not the best. You know, let's see, let's move on to game number 2, a game that we actually won, which, I mean, I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but the next couple weeks of games do not look that favorably upon us, or at least the 6 weeks of games. Looking at Mavs versus Grizzlies, which, by the way, Grizzlies just retired Zebo's number, so congrats to him, because damn, like
Zebo's Mavericks legend.
Yeah, Mavericks legend, you know, Sacramento Kings legend. Like, that dude's a fucking badass. So good for him.
Oh, hell yeah.
I love that dude. Like, he was just such a fucking, he was a fucking goon out there. This game, this is the game that, that finally, Moses Brown got some fucking time and did well. With it. And did what? 7 for 8 from the field throw, from the free throw line, had 9 points overall, you know, grabbed 7 boards, 8 of them being offensive rebounds. Like, what a great fucking game. I was so happy.
And in 12 minutes.
Yeah, which is fucking, incredible. Like, yes, that's love what it. I want to see. I want to see him and Josh Green. This is the game I wrote about, actually, yeah. So Josh Green also got, like, you know, 10 minutes, some of it being, you know, first half and a little bit more being second half, and had 4 points, you know, 1 total rebound, 2 for 3 from the field, great. Did not shoot a 3. Dwight Powell did not shoot a 3. Dorian Finney-Smith, after going 4 from 9 from 3, did not shoot a 3, which is interesting. I don't know, man. Y'all have any thoughts about this game in particular?
They were handing out technicals like Skittles in that game.
I remember that.
Fuck yeah, they were. That was a fun game to. If you like the refs, that was a really fun game to watch.
I don't think Dylan Brooks did like the refs.
No, he did not.
My personal opinion. I think he screamed it. I think he screamed at one of the refs at the end as he was getting tossed out to go play a game of basketball first. Oh, no, wait, that was someone else this week.
Yeah, well, we can talk about that maybe later. But, but yeah, I mean, you know, good win. Yeah, I mean, Memphis, like, they look pretty good this year. I mean, right now they're 14-11, so.
And without Jaw.
Yeah, without Jaw, so it's like, damn, bro, like, it's, yeah. Yeah, Dylan Brooks got thrown out, you know.
And they were on a streak of, like, 5 wins in a row where they had never trailed at any point.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
So, they look good.
And, of course, like, you know, Desmond Bane didn't have as an explosive night as he did the other, like, last week. You know, 5 for 15, not the greatest, you know.
Right.
1 for 3 from 3, which is kind of, like, kind of where his bread and butter was in college anyway, but not so much right now.
And 3-6 Mafia just tore it up, so Memphis had been on fire.
Yes, that was, yeah, Memphis, yeah. Again, Dylan Brooks got thrown out of the game. Steven Adams is a fucking unit. When I went to see that game on the 4th, I was like, man, he's a fucking big-ass dude. yeah, I mean, that was a good game for us. You know, like, I know the ref show can be a ref show, but if the ref show doesn't fuck us up too much, I'm not too upset.
I haven't heard a crowd angry at the refs in a while. Like, they were pissed.
Yeah, and Memphis is very vocal. They're a small group, but man, they are super vocal. And then this last game that we played against a obviously we know now, you know, Rick Carlisle was not gonna participate. He's under COVID protocols right now. I know we all wish him the best, because COVID is not a fun thing to do. And COVID's been kind of just, COVID's kind of been ravaging the league a little bit. You know, just like, I don't know, it just seems. I know, like, in the EPL, they've been, you know, rescheduling games because people have in a COVID protocol. But anyway, so this game lost another loss. Which was kind of embarrassing because, again, they didn't have their head coach. And this is a team that, you know, it's openly talking about tanking. you know,
well, but,
yeah, you know, but Caris LeVert, you know, Domantas Sabonis, you know, even Miles Turner fucking killing us. Caris LeVert in particular, like, for a guy that, like, was almost, like, medically unable to play basketball. Yeah, had a great game. You know, 4 for 7 from 3, 11 for 23 overall, 26 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, a block. Bro, come on. Like,
my goodness.
Yeah, I want that guy so bad. Like, I want him on our team. Actually, there's, like, you know, Caris LeVert, DeMonte Sabonis, Chris Duarte. You know, basically the entire starting
Miles 5. Turner.
The entire starting 5. I'm like, yeah, like, you guys can come over here. Like, let's please do it. You guys would instantly be, like, our second best player. and there's anything that stuck out to you guys in this game?
We scored 6 points in the final 9 minutes. I can't believe I just said that. Like, that doesn't feel real for a Mavericks that offense that's been really good the last 2 years and not so much this year.
We scored
I only caught about those final 9 minutes, but one thing that, like, jumped out to me, and this might just be the hockey player in me, but Brissett, with about 20 seconds left, went over the top of Luka and basically body checked him pretty hard for a meaningless rebound as both teams were just trying to dribble out the clock, and not so much as a dirty look at the guy from anyone else on the team. Like, I can just imagine, like, if that's a Heat player and their star gets hacked like that, like someone doing it to Jimmy Butler, how fast, like, Udonis Haslam could be 10 years retired and he would just pop up on the court.
Yeah.
Like Marvel style, just out of thin air, just to fight somebody. And that's just not the culture that this team has. And it's worrisome.
It is. I'm looking at the 4th quarter, 13 total points. Luka played the Yeah, Luka played the entire 4th quarter. let's see, 6 for 22 from the field in this quarter for 27%. Holy shit. yeah, that was not a fun quarter.
Through Dorian Finney-Smith and Dwight Powell, it was fun to watch.
Oh my god, dude. Dwight Powell did go 1 for 1 from the field, though, so.
He did. Respect.
That was not a fun game. And, I mean, you know, 1 for 2 for the week is not exactly where we want to be, especially because, you know, I mean, we do play the Wolves coming up, which should be more or less a cakewalk, you would think. You know, they're also kind of terrible. That's actually the week after this coming week. I'm looking the rest of the year. We got Oklahoma, Charlotte, LA, Wolves twice in a row, the Bucks, terrifying. At Jazz for Christmas Day, so, and that's at like 9:30, so I will be drunk and mad if we lose, because Christmas Day. Blazers, which is another team that's kind of like in a weird spot in terms of like their front office and their head coach and just their players. I don't know. That's not another weird team where it's like, hey, like maybe we should have a fire. I don't know. Anyway,
did y'all see what happened with CJ McCollum? Sorry to
get off topic, but yeah, I did see what happened with CJ McCollum. That's very sad. I do too. Did you see that, Tim?
I'm sorry, I was about to make another small announcement to you since you say that again.
Did you hear about
what happened to CJ McCollum?
I did not.
He has a collapsed lung.
Oof. Oof.
Yeah. I don't know how the fuck that happens. Like, you know, so CJ McCollum is that team has like been ravaged by injuries though. I know a lot of teams are now like, I know like the Bulls have been fucked over by COVID and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's going to be a weird year. It's a weird year like last year, I think. So anyway, Tim, what were we going to announce?
Well, just because we were talking about it yesterday, as of 30 minutes ago, ABC7 LA has announced that famed Mexican singer Vicente Fernandez has passed at 81.
Did he? No. Yeah. Oh my God. We're just talking about him on Twitter. Son of a bitch.
Just all yesterday. Right.
Damn, I don't think my dad even knows. Fuck. Okay, I gotta let him know. But yeah, looking at I don't know, man. Like, so looking at this next week, so we have Oklahoma today, and this will be up before that game. Charlotte, LA, those are three games this week. What do you think our record's gonna? What do you think the record for this week is gonna be? Looking at this team and looking at who we play.
3-0.
Okay.
Let's go for it.
3-0. Let's fucking just.
Ooh, let's kill him.
Let's try our hardest. What do you think? What do you think, Tim?
God, OKC is so terrible. Like,
you would think that we'd be.
They should, even without Luka, they should win that. They should go 1-2.
I'm thinking 1-2. The Lakers
are a mess, but they're more together lately than we've been.
Yeah. I got
Russ is. I was clowning Russ early in the season, but he's actually been kind of hot lately.
He's adjusted to what they need him to be.
So he's doing the same thing he did in Houston, like finding his lane and actually being productive after a rough start. So I'll say 1-2. If Luka can come back Monday night, yeah, I think you have a chance to get that Charlotte game if Luka comes back Monday night. I think that's... Yeah. That's probably their optimistic plan, is steal the game in OKC without him against the really bad team and have him face the kind of... I know Charlotte's cool to watch and fun, but they're still kind of a barely above average team. So
they're a work in progress.
They're 15-13, so they're not like... Yeah, it's not you're not playing Milwaukee. They're really, really promising. I won't say good yet. They're very promising. So you have that game at home. Go get that one. So, like, yeah, if by 36 hours from now they're 2-0, then the rest of the week is gravy.
Nice.
Yeah, that's my legitimate prediction, 2-1. Steal the game tonight and then get one of the two at home.
Yeah.
And then beat the Lakers by 40 so I can tell everyone around me to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
For those who do not know, Tim is in California. So anyway. So moving on, there was another battle on, MF's Twitter this week. One that I was like, oh my God, let's talk about this shit. Cause it's great. So former Shadow GM, Vulgaris, and Cuban decided to have a conversation on the timeline. In the end, you know, Cuban was like, oh, you know, we're friends, so it's not a huge deal. Like, we rag on each other, but I mean, like, me and Squish, we rag on each other, you know? but you know that we're joking because people like see our personas online and like we literally do a podcast most weeks. And we hang out in real life, but it was really weird, like looking at those tweets and being like, oh my God, they're actually like fighting about things to the point where, what did Cuban say, Tim, to Vulgaris about
go play basketball? A game of basketball or something?
Yeah,
like
go and play a game.
Jeff Kavanaugh from The Fan made a really good point when he quote tweeted that and said, Cuban just told the guy he trusted to basically run his team for almost a decade to go play basketball before he trusts your basketball opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is like,
he knocks that one out of the park.
Yeah. So what are y'all's takes about this week? Cause again, it seems like the past 2 weeks have just been very contentious on Twitter, especially. So.
When your billionaire owner is like DMing individual fans and trying this hard to convince everyone that everything's fine, he's the dog sitting in the room that's on fire meme saying everything's fine. It's not fine. You're basically trying to bribe people with ticket packages and make them feel important by asking for opinions that you're never going to listen to because the only reason you're asking is you're stubborn as hell and set in your ways.
Yeah.
Like if someone gave him actual constructive roster and realistic like acquisition advice in one ear and out the other. Like right. he'd probably only listen to you if you had some cool crypto or NFT talk. Like he's doing spin control, he's trying to do like PR. It just gives me a headache.
Yeah, I think he knew that the tweets he sent about Mavs Twitter not being the real fan base was a mistake. And he had to go play PR mode.
Well, yeah. Like he made his reputation by like early on in his ownership going up and sitting in the 400 level at Reunion Arena and like being a friend of the common man. What he doesn't realize is like the new 400 level is Twitter. It's social media. We're like,
yeah,
we're the assholes that don't pay that much to sit in the lower bowl. If he thinks if he thinks the real fans are the dudes from Addison that pay $200 to take their 7-year-old to the game and don't know the last back half of the roster beyond the starting five, like, that's not it, man. Mavs Twitter probably, like, says some things in the heat of the moment, but those are your real fans. Those are your 80-plus game a year ride or dies. So, you know... This is the new nosebleed section, and Mr. Adaptive Businessman doesn't realize it. Yep. And I think deep down this week he might have, and that's why he's trying to like perk packages to death through DMs.
You know, a lot with me because like I guess like I've talked to Mark before in the past, like because he used to follow me, not anymore, which is totally fine. Totally is called unfollow. But, you know, like, I think this is, like, the culmination of everything. And, like,
yeah,
I think, like, I saw some people talk on, I'm sorry, I totally forgot to reference whoever it was. But someone was like, hey, like, if I was a billionaire and I had a Twitter, I would log off and, like, go on vacation in, like, the Maldives or something, bro. Like, you know? Like, my whole perception of being, like, the owner of a team would just be, hey, let me write the checks. Let the GM do what the GM needs to do. Write the checks. And stay off Twitter and or social media in general. And then just, like, go fuck off somewhere. Like, you know, and preferably not do a show, you know. I don't know, man. It's just, like, this is, like, the second week I think I've talked about this. And, like... Usually, like, with these, like, news cycle stuff, like, usually it's only, like, a week at most, you know? Like whenever, like, me and whoever's on the podcast are, you know, trying to figure out what to talk about for the week, like, normally the stuff, like, towards, like, the beginning of the week is, like, it's not going to be a thing to talk about because the news cycle's already moved on, you know?
Yeah, the general rule is about 72 hours.
Yeah, or something. Yeah, yeah, you know? And then it's, like... But this has like been like constant. Like we even have questions about this, which we'll get into in a little bit, you know, about, you know, Twitter and stuff like that. I will say that Twitter is very vocal, but it's also a very minor part of the fandom. Like, you could go on the street, you can go to a Mavs game and just go talk to someone randomly, and I'm sure 50% of the time they won't know what Mavs Twitter is, they won't know what, you know, Mavs Reddit is. Like, those two places are places that I go to a lot, and there's a lot of vocal fans that may be a little opposed to each other because of certain things, but at the end of the day, like, you're pretty much operating in the same capacity as a fan. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm hoping he gets offline for a little bit and just, like, lets Nico do what he needs to do, because the trade time is coming up in a couple days. So actually, on Wednesday against the Lakers, who I'm sure is also going to be, you know, looking around the league for parts. So now let's go ahead and have ad read time, and then we will get into questions. Again, my bookie, the best odds and preps, best odds and prop bets. Remember, you can start by doubling your initial deposit all the way up to $1,000 using the promo code SportsDrink. Double your deposit to double your funds, to double your excitement, you know, for the games going on this week, for the Bok team match that's going on this week. Additionally, we also have Symbol. Symbol is a stock market of sports that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. On Symbol, you can trade sports teams like stocks, and every time your team wins, you earn cash. You can use your sports knowledge on Symbol to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts when your teams win. You can join the 7,000 early adopters that have started to invest in their favorite teams. I'm not so sure if I'm going to do that with the Mavs right now. You can visit www.symbol.com to create a free account, and your deposit. And when you deposit, make sure to use a promo code SD to make your deposit risk-free. And lastly, Spotify Green Room. Spotify Green Room is a live audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download to use on both the Apple Store and the Android Store. You can talk to me if I'm ever on, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. So again, all you gotta do is download it. I know recently they just put up the Android version, so that's great. So that's it. All right, let's go ahead and get into questions, which is always kind of the bread and butter of this podcast. Let me pull them up real quick. Let's see. All right. So again, earlier I was talking about how we have a lot of questions about Twitter and Mark and fans. Okay, first question comes from TexasFan_05. They ask, why does our owner hate his fans that only want the best for the team?
Okay.
So I think that I don't think he hates us. I just think that he's finally seeing the pressure starting to come down. He's running out of places to put the blame on. You know, Rick's gone, Donnie's gone, Vulgaris is gone. You know, again, total new front office, whole new coaching staff, basically. The players are about the same. You know, you just plugged out, took away Josh Richardson and put in Reggie Bullock. Which actually has been worse. I think before he went to COVID protocols, Josh Richardson was actually having a pretty good season. which is that's crazy how that happens, apparently. But I don't think he hates us. I just think that he's just like, dude, like, please let me live. You know, but we can't let him live because this, you know, for a lot of us, this team is one of the most important things in our life. So, including, right. I think, all three of us. So,
yeah.
What are your takes, Isaac?
I agree with what you said. I don't think he hates us, but, you know, I don't blame the people that think that way after what he tweeted. I mean, when you say that people on a certain platform aren't your real fan base, you can't be surprised when people on that platform are like, dude, what the hell? Like, I don't understand why he seemed surprised at the reaction he got. And I was like, that seems like logic 101.
Yeah. You know, like, you're tweeting this on Mavs Twitter. you know.
Exactly.
But I also like someone said, I forgot who, again, I gotta start like, you know, retweeting or quoting or something, these tweets I keep seeing, but like someone was like, oh, like you decide, okay, like you're, because the Twitter account was like, oh, Mavs Twitter, this is for you. And someone was like, well, we're on Twitter, so it would be for Mavs Twitter, right? Like, you know, like,
yeah,
just one of those things. I
love that the account is like, hey, here's one of our players playing. This is for you. I'm like, what? Isn't that your job to play the players that will put you in the best position to win games? Like,
it's whatever. Tim, you got any thoughts?
I just think people with his kind of money aren't used to like people saying no or people disagreeing with him. And also there's the extra element that Mark kind of came to us and built a reputation. He's the mom from Mean Girls. He's not a regular owner. He's a cool owner. And so like for there to finally be some like pushback against his personality and the way he runs things is not really something he's used to. And that's starting to seep into every little facet of the front facing parts of the organization, including the people who run social being so defensive about the team to the point that the girl who runs it is tweeting and deleting shit like, oh, now y'all love us. Well, yes.
Do better.
We do love winning. That's the whole point here. Like, God, and I tweeted, exactly. I think I either sent this in the Slack or tweeted it the other day, but I pray Mark never gets into the EPL ownership side of things because, God, oh, no. he thinks we're bad.
Yeah, EPL is a whole different beast.
I'm an Everton fan. We won our first time in like 9 games against Arsenal the other day in a great game, and the fans still staged a walkout during that game.
Oh, no.
Like, they were fucking done.
I love English soccer, bro. That shit's so fucking great.
He would be curled up in a ball crying in the corner of the pitch if he got into that.
Yeah. Just the amount of shit housing that goes on. It's great. which is one of my favorite terms of all time. I just love that term, shit house. Let's see. Next question comes from Juan Manuel, who is one of our contributors who wanted to come on but had errands. So sorry, Juan. Next time.
Shout out.
Yeah. I love this question. Since cars are becoming more autonomous every day, how long until we have a country song about a redneck that got abandoned by a self-driving sentient truck? bro, I'd see, I don't know how far is Tesla off from like having the, you know, self-driving car. Cause I'm sure give it like a year after that. Like, I think if they come out like what, in 2024, give it like 2025, 2026, like you'll see a song. It might even be Squish. Squish may decide to make a fucking parody account about something. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, here we go.
That'd be great. I'd love it. You know, what do y'all think?
Yeah, basically what you said. I don't have any other opinions on it.
Tim, what do you think?
I'm just trying to construct the lyrics because in most of those songs, the wife leaves, but he's still got his pickup.
Yeah,
now it's going to be the pickup leaving, so I'll just go ride my wife instead, I think is how that song goes.
And I'm not so sure if that will be a, you know, you got to wear that really carefully for the masses. Let's see. Okay, next question also comes from another contributor, Squish41. What the fuck is a contributor this week? Would you rather get stung by 100,000 bees or one reunion tower size bee? So,
I mean, you're dead either way.
Yeah. So I talked about this with my wife because I was just talking about the questions that we got. I ask her all the time, like, hey, like, look at this question we got. And I was like, yeah, Squish asked a question. She was like, fucking for real. And I was like, yes. So, and I told her now, she was like, and so we're talking, like, literally on the, because we went to see my uncle yesterday because it was his birthday. And on the way there, we were just like, you would think like the amount of poison in the uranium tower size bee would have to be you know, like a proportional to a regular size bee, right? Either way, you're dead, you know.
Yeah.
And I figure like a bee that big is like, it's a kaiju, you know, it's a giant monster. So Fuck it, bro. That's how I want to go out. Like, let a kaiju fuck me up. Like, I'll go out that way. That's fine. Like, it's one time. You know, you're done after that. Like, what about you guys? What do you guys think?
I'll choose the reunion tower sized B, because at least there's like a 1 in a million chance that he'll miss. And then I have a chance in hell of living. 100,000 bees aren't going to miss. Like,
what do you think, Tim?
The many bees is actually just the ending of My Girl, so I'm going to go cry now. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that movie. Fuck.
I'll also take, he's allergic to bees, oh my god, and then the funeral, and he puts the glasses on him. Yeah, god, I'm going to be a train wreck the rest of the day now. See, I'll take the giant bee as well, and hope it hits you like in the hand or the foot, and then you can 127 hours yourself right after that.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Because that's just one sting point.
But it's like how big that stinger is, though.
I'm about to say, that stinger is going to be as big as a building. Like,
it's got to be as big as like a house. Like, you know, like,
exactly. That's what I was just about to say. Like,
well, yeah, a house can fall on your foot and miss the rest of you, theoretically.
Okay. All right.
Theoretically.
All right. Before we get into physics on this fucking podcast. Okay, a question from Dalton Richard 17, who now has changed his thing to a, changed his avatar to a to Master Chief, because I think that game came out this week.
Fun.
A non-Mavs player you would want to hang out the most in the NBA?
Giannis.
Okay. My answer would have to be Anthony Edwards.
Yes, I love that.
That dude is the funniest fucking dude in the league. He's just, and like, I keep going back to a point where, like, during the draft meetings and stuff like that, he was just like, yeah, I really don't like basketball. Like, I don't like to watch or anything like that. Like,
I'm more, career.
That's so hilarious, dude. I'm just like, bro, I love this. Like, literally in the top, like, 0.001% of, like, people on Earth who are really good at the sport. Like, okay, cool. I just want to do this instead. What about you, Tim?
Kevin Durant. Because I want to be there while he's tweeting the kind of petty things that, like, I want to help him construct these, or I want him to teach me how to be better. Like, I'm pretty petty on Twitter. I want to learn from the GOAT. Twitter GOAT.
These are really good answers. Fuck. There's a lot of good players in the NBA right now.
Yeah, and Isaac hanging out with Giannis, you probably get to see him discover like some kind of American snack for the first time, like when he discovered Oreos and milk the other day.
He talked about Oreos, and then after the championship, he went to Chick-fil-A and ordered a 50 count, and I was like, this is the kind of guy that, like, you can tell the fame isn't, like, overtaking him. Like, he's still a cool guy. Like,
yeah, I love it. He's literally one of the best athletes in the world too. So that's even better.
Exactly.
He also has another question. Who do you think is the most underrated movie villain of all time? There's a lot of villains out there, man. I have a take, actually. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character from 500 Days of Summer, I think, is a villain. Not like a typical villain where it's like, ah, you're evil. It's more of a, you put this perception of a girl onto a girl who you don't really know and get real mad when she doesn't live up to that perception. And I thought that was interesting, because like when I was like 20, I was like, oh yeah, this movie makes total sense. And I watched it again when I'm like, you know, near my 30s, and I'm like, actually, Tom kind of sucks. Like, you know, he's not a villain in the typical sense. It's more just like, you know, like he had misplaced perceptions, so which eventually just makes him look like an asshole if you're looking at it from any other way except for his. So that's my answer.
My answer is going to be the 2011 Heat and the Mavericks documentary of their championship.
There we go. That's great. Very underrated. No one ever talks about this.
Especially
on Twitter.
Talking about this?
Tim, you got an answer for this one?
Yeah, since it's this time of year, I'm going to go with the mom and dad in the Home Alone movies. Everyone wants to say the wet bandits are the villain, but no. The neglect and forgetfulness of the parents in those movies created a domestic terrorist.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, man. That could be in CPS if this happened. If this happened in real life.
Yeah.
Insert the let's have a conversation meme. The guy sitting at a table, like.
Yeah, this is it, bro. The parents from Home Alone are actually terrible. Like,
yeah, say what you want. Say what you want about the Wet Bandits. They were there for them both Christmases.
They're both. Yeah, I don't know how the fuck that happens. You know, 2 years in a row. But let's see. Next question comes from one of my favorite Twitter people, Bibbs Corner.
Yes,
Bibbs asks, favorite movie of the year, which I'm very happy he said favorite, because if he said best, I would be out of luck. My favorite movie of the year so far, because this is coming out before Spider-Man comes out. My favorite movie of the year so far is Godzilla versus Kong. One of my all-time favorites, kaiju film. Has homages to the old movies, you know. Spoiler alert, you know, a kaiju looks like Godzilla shows up. Just overall fun as fuck. I actually rented out I rented out a theater for this, basically, you know, like nice. A small little theater, rented out theater, like had like, this is like when COVID was still kind of, you know, going on. So, or COVID still is going on, but you know, vaccines are starting to come out. So basically what it is, like only family was invited and everyone who was there had already been vaccinated. So it was like, okay, cool. Like, nice. You know, so we were able to kind of enjoy ourselves out there. But that's my favorite movie. That's my favorite movie of the year. What about you guys?
I've only seen one movie that came out this year, so my answer is default, the new Space Jam movie.
Oh shit. that's a choice.
Okay, what about what I can say?
What about, have you seen any movies that came out previous years but you watched this year?
Oh, I watch Moneyball on repeat. Okay. I watch Draft and repeat. Like,
okay, what's your favorite movie that came out? What's your favorite movie that you watched this year then?
There's a special place in my heart for Moneyball. I know that not a lot of people like it, but I just, really?
That's a great fucking movie.
That's a great movie.
I love the math of it, and I just love all of it.
Who said they didn't like it? What the fuck?
Like, there's a lot of people on Twitter that just, you know, love to hate everything, you know.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about, I was like, no, bro, like, I love that movie. I mean, my wife watched it last, like, I think Christmas break. I was like, yo, let's watch this.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. What about you, Tim? What's your favorite movie that either you saw this year or came out this year?
In theaters, probably my favorite one is Eternals. I did watch the first half of King Richard last night, but someone fell asleep, so right. So we'll finish that up. It's been really good so far, though. And there's one I'm very excited to see that I think is going to blow everything else out of the water. It's a kids' movie, but I cannot wait to see Encanto.
Oh, no. Yeah, I need to see that too, bro. I need to watch that.
I also heard Luca was really good, so I need to watch
it
that.
It was.
And we Luca are
a was really good.
Mavs-based podcast, so we'll, even though it's spelled different, we'll shout out to that.
That was actually my wife's favorite, because we were, again, talking about questions. She was like, yeah, Luca was my favorite. I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Also, Rounders. Rounders is a good movie.
Okay, that's a good one.
So good.
All right, let's see. The next question comes from, I love the Christmas themed at Jolly Spam Mavs Man. Is Mav State Media making excuses for J-Kid by blaming this garbage on everything? I feel like there's so many things wrong that
I'm gonna say, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. It's hard to, like, you know, spread out the pain and misery on everyone. I think Jason Kidd does deserve some of it, because some of his rotations have been like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, like, you know, so no, I think Mavs State Media, I think they don't try intentionally to not rag on him, but there's so much more wrong with his team at the moment. So yeah, what do you guys think?
I will say, though, it's I agree with what you said, but it is so obvious when Mark or whoever is running the social media sends out a memo, because everybody tweets something in the span of like 5 minutes. And I'm like, oh, y'all got the memo. Okay, cool. Good to know.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Yeah. Let's see. What about you, Tim?
This is like a side note. Yeah, I'll relate it to his coaching, whatever. there's been this big narrative this year that, oh, the Mavs are getting all these open shots, yada, yada, yada. So Kidd's coaching just fine. It's just a make or miss league, and they're just missing these open shots. Someone actually went back and, like, ran every shot. Well, they track this data every for every team, so it's not like someone did it especially for the Mavs. Yes, they're getting open shots. They're, like, the least efficient shots. I think they were, like, 27th last I checked where they're getting these open shots from. They're not good looks, and most – they're open because a lot of teams are backing off and saying, like, yeah, have that 20 foot kind of off to the corner too. Like,
right.
Go ahead. Yeah. Keep taking it and you'll have a wide open shot. And that's going to go down as a shot that they were wide open and missed. And they're going to go back and preach to us, oh, well, he drew up an open shot, do all this. But, like, no, if you actually dive into it a little deeper, it's just, it's a disjointed offense. It's got a lot of issues. It's not all on him because there's, like, roster construction problems for sure. But, man, it's just you're making an offense with Luka not fun to watch. That's
exactly that's terrible. Impressive.
Yeah, I think I tweeted this out earlier this week, and it probably worked, especially Friday night since Rick wasn't there. But they're definitely pushing the Mavs over Mavericks branding hard this year because they're missing Rick.
That's fucking great. That's a great one. God damn it. Let's see. Preston Rogers asks, where can I find your podcast? You can find it here at the Hoops Have Vices podcast. We do this weekly usually, unless it's like a big event or something like that, and then you kind of, you know, don't do it. Yeah, come listen to us, hang out with us. Yeah, this will also be my part of the podcast where I do say we do have a Patreon out now. You know, like $1 to $2 maybe, like you got to spend monthly just to get access to our Discord, to get access to your questions being first priority. There's also a 5 for $5 deal where if you pay $5, you have 5 minutes to get on the podcast and talk about whatever the fuck you want. But there's a very hard, there's a very hard 5 minute limit. And if you go over that, we boot your ass basically. So
we cut your finger off.
We have a sound effect ready for it whenever that happens. But yeah, that's where you can find our podcast. Ollie James asks, what's the craziest thing Mark Cuban blames Mavs Twitter for? It has to be the fact that players don't want to come here because of our Twitter. I don't know if you've seen New York Knicks Twitter or even like Brooklyn Nets Twitter or like Lakers Twitter. Dude, yeah, like weird small minnows compared to some of these other accounts. Some of these, like Boston Twitter, bro. Like, I don't even want to look at
Boston. Oh, my God.
No. No, I'd rather.
Lakers Twitter sends death threats. Like, come on. We are not the same. Like,
Yeah, no. Like, no one's looking at our Twitters and being like, no one's looking at Red Mavericks and being like, oh, shit. Fuck this guy. Like, I don't want to come here anymore. You know, like, I'm not fucking giving up millions of dollars. You know, because it's some guy on Twitter. Like, no.
Exactly.
So, what about you guys? What do you guys think?
I think it's really weird that he blames climate change on Mavs Twitter. Oh, wait, he didn't do that? I was just assuming.
No.
Sorry.
No. I mean, he might eventually. We'll see.
He blamed the crypto crash on Mavs Twitter.
Yeah.
That's coming. It's coming. Anyway, let's see. Next question comes from Wesley. Favorite thing about being a dad? I'm going to go all mushy for a second. My favorite thing about being a dad so far has been being able to be super goofy and like my kid, like loving it. Like he's 4, about to be 5 months. And, he is just like, he thinks it's the most hilarious shit when I'm out here, like using baby talk, talking about how bad the Mavs are. Like, he's just like, this is the most hilarious thing I've ever seen in my life. You know? So that's been really nice to kind of be around. Next question comes from Jennifer. What are your thoughts on how KP and Luka have been playing? Luka and KP, when they've been on the floor for the most part, have looked really good. Luka, not so much. KP has been looked really good, considering like where he was towards the end of last season.
Right.
KP, though, I mean, Luka, he hasn't looked himself quite yet. I think that foot or leg, whatever, is really bothering him. He probably needs to be out for a couple of days, I would assume. Like, he needs to rest. Yeah. I think he can get back into that, you know, where he's just like fucking killing everybody. But it hasn't happened quite yet. completely where he's not. I'm not. Where years past where I'm like, oh shit, like Luka's in. Okay, we got this. Now it's like, oh, Luka's in. Okay, maybe we got this. You know,
we have a chance. Yeah.
You know, I'm like, okay, yeah. So, yeah. How are you? What do you guys think?
I just want to say, like, I know stats aren't everything, but the fact that a Luka off year is 25-8-8 on 45%, like, that's kind of insane.
It rolls. Yeah. Yeah. It really is. It's like a, like, off year, but is it really an off year?
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think? What do you guys think?
I'm not worried about them at all when there's so much else to, like,
yeah,
be actually concerned with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Next question comes from it's C Malfaro 25. I'm sorry, I'm saying that wrong. Kendrick Williams or Fred VanVleet, which combo guard should Mavs pursue?
Yes.
Ooh.
I will say
all of the above.
I will say I love Kendrick Williams because he's from Dallas. He rocks the Dallas Shag, which is a very like Dallas haircut. Yeah, I'm fucking cool with going after him. Also, I think he's on a cheap contract right now. Fred VanVleet just got paid. So I'm kind of like, eh, you know. And I mean, Kendrick Williams is another TCU guard or, you know, combo guard that we should have went after. So, yeah. yeah, let's go. I go for Kendrick. I don't know about you guys. You guys have a preference over either way? Yeah.
Same what thing you said. Kendrick is cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, bang for the buck, you'd say Williams. But, you know, Van Vliet's freaking awesome.
Yeah. Van Vliet is like, he's like Jalen Brunson on steroids. So, you know. let's see. last question. This is a good question to end off on. Do you think Mark Cuban is the problem with our front office, or are they collectively bad? I will say that all of the problems seem to stem from Mark Cuban overall.
Yeah.
Like just like the way like things have been ran, and like of course we're not even getting into like the sexual allegations and the you know sexual abuse stuff.
Yeah.
Like they're not even getting into that. That's a whole different beast. Not like when it comes to this, like yeah, we talked about it one time on the podcast a long time ago, just as a hey man, like we don't fucking stand by this, blah blah blah. But you know, like when it comes to just purely basketball stuff, like it is Mark Cuban. You know, like who is ultimately calling the shots? Like he writes the checks,
right?
So it's up to him. But also, like, I will agree that it is a new front office. Like it's you know we got. I don't think the only person who's really stayed the same is you know is Mike Finley. Michael Finley is still here. That's kind of about it.
Right.
But you know, yeah, I think it's ultimately Mark. You know, do I want him to sell the team? That fluctuates depending on the game. I just really my ultimate goal is for just him to be like more or less online. Like just log off, bro, go swim in a fucking pool of cash, you know? What about you guys?
I agree with you. I mean, there's a tiny bit of hope that maybe Nico, you know, laid out to Cuban, like, I'm not going to take this job if you're just going to do everything for me. You know, there's a hope that was said. But yeah, bottom line is Mark Cuban needs to be less involved with the stuff that GMs and vice presidents should be doing.
Yeah. What do you think, Tim?
It's going to sound like we've been doing a Cowboys podcast for the last 30 years because, you know, that's what Cuban's basically becoming with his failure to ever give up control. And we'll see how it goes with Nico and if this continues to be true. But I think we learned over the past, like, with everything that came out in the Cato story and the Athletic and, like, the past decade or so, instead of sons like Jerry Jones has, Cuban was just trotting yes men out there. That Black probably hair. Didn't deserve to keep the jobs. Like Donnie did some great things in the past, but like it really sounds it's like he just got full on his own success and was really like, okay, I'm just gonna do my job because I'm never gonna lose it. And then it all does circle back to the fact that no matter what Donnie or Haralaba were doing, it was Cuban's decisions at the end of the day. So, you know,
right.
It's just very It was a dictatorship in that front office. We'll see if it still is, but you got the wrong guy in charge. You know, yeah. Being crypto yeah. genius and internet billionaire and all that stuff does not qualify. It didn't then, and it does not qualify you now, no matter how long you've been involved in the NBA. It does not make you a good GM. He never will right. be a good GM. And I would like to personally, if he hears this, challenge him to a game of basketball.
I gotta see this. That'd be great. We'll stream that live and the proceeds will go towards the team or something. I don't know.
Oh, he'll shut, he'll blank me. He'll beat me like 21-0 or whatever we play to, but I just want to get that one good elbow into him. There's gonna be some flagrants.
No refs.
God. All right. So those are all the questions this week. Thank you guys for submitting questions. Thank you guys for, you know, listening to the podcast. The support really, really helps. Again, if you ever want to join the Patreon, have some questions, don't hesitate to ask me stuff about it. We will be adding more tiers as people join. Like, we just kind of want to get the ball rolling and make it, you know, pretty accessible to pretty much anybody who has a little bit of money. Anything? I'm trying to think anything else. Oh, obviously, I appreciate Isaac and Tim for coming on. You can find Isaac. Where can we find you at?
On Twitter at ISAACAPPELT, Isaac Appel.
And what about you, Tim?
At Ultralight Beam, the last one, last four, or BEHM.
Yeah, it's definitely a Kanye pun, whatever, which is great.
Why should I change my name? He's the one who sucks.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair though, that performance the other night on Amazon was great.
Was killer.
But let's see. You can find me obviously at Reddit Mavericks on Twitter. Squish, who's on today, you can find him at Squish41. You can find Don at Don_Denham. Denham, DENHAM. So not like the pants, but spelled differently. You can find, we have articles and stuff coming out every so often on our website, mfflss.com. You can follow us at the_mfflss on Twitter if you want. Sometimes we'll like live tweet stuff and stuff like that. And yeah, that's it, folks. I'll see you guys later. Have a good day.
Peace.
Take it easy.